Accession number 26736, Reel 5.
Albert Hughes, Reel 5. So you've just described your homecoming. I mean, you weren't actually out of the army yet, were you?
Oh, no, no. We were on 6 weeks' leave with double rations for 6 weeks.
That was quite special, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, that's it. But we had still had to pay for it ourselves. But, of course, the rations then was perhaps only an ounce of butter a week and things like that. It wasn't very much at all.
So did you stay with your parents?
Oh, yes. We were there. But anyway, no, what happened, that we were only stopped down there about a week or so. And, of course, I said to, you know, naturally, Joan and I were thrilled to see one another again. We used to do a fair bit of walking and this, that, and the other. And I presume we were down there about a week or so, I forget now. But anyway, we decided, you know, that we'd get married. You see, so of course we had to go back up to London and up to Cranford. And then we arranged with, I think we had a special license for as ex-soldiers or soldiers, and we went up to the St Paul's, Hounslow West, the church there, and we got this, and we arranged to be married on the, it was 3 weeks after I got home, on the Sunday, on the Wednesday of the 6th of June 1946. No, 45. Yeah. Yes, 6th of June, which was the, that's right, the anniversary, first anniversary of D-Day. Yeah. See, 6th of June, 19. And as I say, we had a lovely service. It was raining that day, on that 6th of June. And we also had a choir. And a soloist. Lovely, wasn't it?
You had to find a job, didn't you? I mean, you had to think about what you were going to do.
Well, I mean, that was, we'll say, furthest from a thought then. But again, you see, I anticipated, because my firm, who was the name of Hawkins, Horn Lane Acton, that was the head office, but they had a shop at Hounslow West near the underground station, and then also they'd already taken my shop over before the war at Cranford. And of course they had, I think they paid me through the years, I believe it was £2 a month, which they used to send through to my mother, and she put it in there. But as I say, so I anticipated, and I went up and saw them when I got back. And as I say, then we, as I say, that was the tutu. We went for a honeymoon for a week at Herne Bay. My mother had got a friend at Herne Bay, and she found this place for us. And as I say, so we had a honeymoon there at Herne Bay. And then we went back, and I presume we spent the rest of the 6 weeks. In the meantime, I was sent to Gloucester for a medical examination.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I naturally emphasised about this swelling of my legs. And you know, as I say, because some of our chaps were, after the 6 weeks, they were back in the forces. And I thought, well, I can't see any reason why I should want to go back in. And so, of course, I got eventually discharged with, and when I said to you earlier on that I think the leave I was granted, because we used to have a day, you know, a day a month, I think, for all the service. And I think we, well, I think my service officially finished with the army in November, I told you in the first instance. So, of course, then I went back up And I had to go for a spell at Horn Lane Acton to get reimbursed with all the ration and etc. And then I went back into my old branch after that.
Right. And excellent. And did you stay in retailing all your life? Or?
Well, my eldest brother, he was, when I came home, he was at Trinity College, Cambridge. In the meantime, he'd been working at Sandringham for several years, and then he was appointed head gardener to the Queen of Norway. I forget the name of her house, but of course she was, a granddaughter of Queen Victoria. So
that was
she.
In this country, wasn't
oh, yes, yes. She got this house North London somewhere, this country. And anyway, Jack got this this job of head gardener to her. And he got a young lady from Dursingham, which is a village near Sandringham. And they were married in 1939. So, of course, they were through the, you know, they went through the war. But, of course, he was growing vegetables, I think tomatoes mainly. And anyway, after the Queen of Norway died, she apparently went to a shopping trip in London and caught a chill and she died. But she'd already bought him a wedding present, which was a clock. And anyway, so of course the place was closed down. So we got this job at Trinity College, Cambridge, looking after the beds and all this, that and the other. And I started a house. Well, then when I went up to see him, just a few weeks, a week or so after I got home, Joan and I went up there, and he showed me this advert in the Gardener's Chronicle. The fact that the Bristol Zoo was advertising for a head gardener. And he said, what do you think of this? He said, I have applied. And apparently he was shortlisted and he eventually got it. But still, that's his side of it.
Yeah, so what did you do?
Well, as I say, I was there, at Cranford in my old branch. Well, then eventually he got in touch with me and he said that here in Bristol, instead of building up Bristol itself, which was badly bombed, as you possibly know, but they were building small estates around Bristol, and of course they were going to put shops in, block of shops. And he said, "What do you think about it?" You see, so I went down one Sunday, and he took me round these various places, and I went, and the one I liked was just still bare ground, was there were six shops going up on this estate near Hallfield Common. Mm-hmm. And there was this, as I say, six shops. There was going to be a fish shop, greengrocer, chemist, grocer, and a newsagent. That was five. And anyway, we went round to the others. Some were just two shops, but I just went round the ones because we had already got a daughter and a son. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to...
So you took one of these shops, did you?
Well, yes, eventually I applied. I applied for the three bedroom ones, two that were already built, and this one that was not. But
I'm going to have to just, because we've got to the end of your service, just do a few questions. So did you stay in retailing all your life? Or did
Yes, you did. Yes, I came, as I say,
so down. What you did before and that's what you did after.
That's right.
What do you think you learnt from all your time in services? You must have learnt a lot because you were quite a young man.
Well, I suppose you learnt to be independent and a certain amount of, well... You had to look. I mean, we spent 4 years in prison with looking after ourselves. You see, we got no mother to turn around and say, "Oh, I've got a hole in my sock, will you darn it?" Because in those days, we used to have to darn all the holes. And luckily, when I was in the forces, I still had, when we had to dump our big, I still had my little side pack, and in there was the your housewife, a little pack with your needles and cottons. And I also had a spare pair of socks in there. So I was never, during my prisoner war, I was never without a pair of socks. Of course, eventually, when the parcels, clothing parcels come through, they got some more. But
did you go on having trouble with your leg?
Yeah, well, yes. But I naturally, I didn't make a, well, I had to get on with my job. I mean, I had a young family, and I had to get on with my job. But on one occasion, I said to the doctor, I said, I've got what appears to be, after you've had pins and needles in your leg, and it's sort of, course, half dead, I said, that's what my feet appear like. And so I went up to the surgery, and he said, that he had a needle in his hand, and he said, tell me, am I touching your under for my foot, or am I pricking it? Well, one or two I got right, but generally I was all at sea as to what it was, so that feeling was sort of gone. And I think that was part and parcel. Whether it was anything to do with the nerve ends, I don't know.
But has it been a handicap to you all your life?
Well, no, not until, I mean, you know, we had the shop for 20 years, and then, you know, my daughter, she was, you know, got she was in, well, originally she was in with the veterinary college at Bristol University under Dr. Batten. And then, as I say, then she carried on with that sort of thing. Well, with the doctor for, you know, with the veterinary service. And my son had gone into catering. He went to the Technical College at Cheltenham for 2 years. So they weren't interested. So when I had the opportunity to sell the goodwill, I couldn't, because the premises belonged to the corporation. And I eventually able to move it. And then I had a 12-month at home. This was when I was about 57. And then I said to my wife, we'd got a house then at Frampton Cottrell, a nice detached house, which was built in the garden of one of the old cottages. And then I went and got a job at Jackson's at Yate in the store. And of course,
what age did you retire?
65.
Right.
But anyway, in the meantime, I say I got that. And then also, that the cash and carry at Yate, Gardeners was the firm, they had reversed it, and they got in touch with me, and they said, we've got a security room, which was to sell wines and spirits and cigarettes, that was all wired round for anybody breaking in. And we should want a manager. So, of course, I left Jackson's and I got this, looked after this job for 7 years until 65 when I retired.
Right. Do you think the treatment you got when you came back from Europe, do you think that was right, what the army did for you as an ex-prisoner of war?
Looking at now, I think it was terrible. I mean, to think that we'd spent 4 years of our, you know, and put up with what we did. And then we came back, and what they gave us was 2 6-week double ration. And naturally, the little amount of money which was ours anyway, because we were still in the forces. But no, particularly seeing things as what they get now. You see, I mean, these, what we say, war widows, like the lady you saw. You see, £100 a week, you see, they get. But and some of them, I know two, who lost their husbands like Glenys did on Crete, and then she married again. Well, personally, I mean, no, I mean, she's a good one, I know. She's very good to us. But again, I mean, I consider she wasn't a war widow. She was originally, but then she married again. And then there's another person that I know, not very far from here, who did the same thing. You see, so...
So the prisoners of war weren't very well treated.
They weren't. I think it was shocking, really, not really.
Well, thank you very much indeed for telling us your story. It's been absolutely fascinating.
Sorry I had to drift from time to time.
No, you haven't drifted at all. It's been excellent. So I'll just say, Albert Hughes, thank you very much indeed. And that's the end of Reel 5.